Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have retired Lieutenant Colonel Jamie Parent, who is an advocate for military members with PTSD. His book, Moving Past PTSD, Consciousness, Understanding, and Appreciation for Military Veterans and Their Families, shines a light on how we should deal with our veterans. So thank you very much, Jamie, for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, before we get started, tell me, how long did you serve in the military and what branch did you serve?
I served for 20 years, from 1983 to 2003, in the United States Air Force.
So give us a brief history of mental illness in the U.S. military.
Well, mental illness has been called many things since World War I, when it was really kind of first identified. Back then, we called it combat stress, maybe shell shock, those types of terms. And we really didn't understand too much about it, to be honest with you. Most of us have some relative, maybe a uncle or a father, that served in the military during World War II and never came home and spoke about it. Chances are these veterans were suffering from some form of PTSD, because that's one of the classic symptoms that we know of PTSD today. And so for the last 100 years, we've been struggling with veterans coming home with PTSD, and not quite sure how to deal with them, which kind of leads us to making the same mistakes over in dealing with veterans with PTSD, most notably inadequate housing, not enough education opportunities, lack of jobs for veterans. So unfortunately, Stephen, we've been experiencing the same thing and doing the same thing over and over for the last 100 years since World War I, and we continue it today.
So what are some of the symptoms of PTSD?
PTSD is a result of seeing some type of tragic, horrific event, whether you're in the military or you're not. It could be you see your buddy blown up next to you. It could be someone in an auto accident. PTSD is characterized by having individuals that are suffering from it reliving that event, most notably at night when they fall back asleep. That would be one. Trying to refit back into society would be number two. Some other things would be different from one veteran to another, but they might experience the inability to speak about their military career, fear of going out into crowded areas, overreacting to maybe a firecracker or something they see on TV. Anything in any way that the environment today reminds that person or creates what we call a trigger to go back to that event, that person is probably suffering some form of PTSD.
How important is it that the family get involved with PTSD treatment?
The PTSD treatment with families is very, very important, and unfortunately it's been a bit overlooked until recently. If you think about it, when your loved one comes back with PTSD, okay, that person has PTSD, but I like to call the family has PTSD as well. Certainly not in the same way as the veteran, but you become a PTSD family. Your loved one is coming back different. You don't understand how to help. You're not quite sure what these triggers are, and you just want that old person back that left before they deployed overseas. It can be incredibly crippling for families to be able to have to deal with something like this. And so what we found out recently is that family involvement is critical, and studies support this, critical to the ability for the PTSD veteran to heal. And if you think about it, Stephen, you know, the veteran can go to therapy for 2, 3, 4 hours a day, but then when they come home, there's another 20 hours left with the family. And what we have found is that if the same strategies are used with the family involved in the treatment, then that family can include those treatments when the veteran comes home after the appointment. So PTSD is 24/7, and by involving the families and helping with the recovery, then the treatment is somewhat 24/7 as well.
Okay, how can we restore and maintain the military members' sense of purpose?
One of the things that military members have ingrained in them during their tour overseas is a sense of purpose. Most everybody has patriotism when they go join the military, and everybody in life, Stephen, I think, needs a sense of purpose, whether it's you or me or a veteran, a school teacher, whatever. You have to have something that gets you up in the morning, gets you motivated to want to go through the day. And what happens is these young veterans, when they come back, they're coming back from a theater where they had a great deal of responsibility and accountability at a very young age, 22, 23, 24 years old. They're responsible for leading men and women. They're responsible for the lives of those men and women. So they've grown to have an intense self of service and self-purpose. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of jobs that support that same kind of intensity when they come back. So that's why you see veterans go into fields like teaching, police work, firefighters. Those are the types of career fields that veterans feel comfortable because they're helping mankind. They're continuing the service. And I think just like you and me, everybody needs that strong sense of purpose. So I believe that restoring that sense of purpose in a veteran helps them feel good about themselves, helps them continue to do the great work they were doing overseas. And I believe, in my own view, that's the number one thing we can do to that veteran, for that veteran coming back. Reinstill that sense of purpose, having them feel good about themselves, and I believe that's a significant step in veterans with the recovery process.
So would you say that returning veterans like high-stress jobs, or are they just addicted to the adrenaline and having the lack of adrenaline when they come back into a normal job?
I think it varies from person to person, but they want to be out there doing something. It doesn't have to be an emergency medical technician, but they want to continue to serve. I don't think they want it at that intensity because I'm not quite sure how long you could keep up that type of intensity. But varying from person to person, each one of us has their own sense of purpose. And I think if we tap into that one, whether it is a high-intensity one or a low-intensity one, that continue to serve and that feel good about yourself, I believe, is very, very important.
Okay. Now, how and why is our society failing our returning veterans?
Because we keep doing the same things that we've tried over and over again, and they're not working. Access to health care is a big deal. Access to education, quality housing. We as a country have continued to make the mistake of overestimating the number of veterans coming back from a war, overestimating how long that war is going to take. And if you think about the numbers going back, a tremendous large amount of numbers of veterans came back from World War II, World War I, the Vietnam War, and the Korean War. We all thought these wars would be quick and that they wouldn't last as long as they have. So we don't have the correct infrastructure to be able to support the veterans. The VA is doing a great job, in my opinion. Some VAs are better than others, like anything else. But the VA is really trying to change their model in helping veterans. And that's why you're seeing such things like what was on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks back, of new techniques that the VA and others are trying to be able to alleviate the symptoms of PTSD. I think if we as a society can recognize some of the things that I point out in my book after talking with a number of veterans, and again, Stephen, I'm not a psychiatrist or an MD, but I am a veteran myself, and I have helped with veterans, and I've listened to what they have to say, the compelling interviews that they give in the book, and I'm trying to articulate what they've said into that book to try to change the paradigm of how we treat veterans coming back from battlefield.
As far as hiring veterans goes, what is wrong with the way that we're hiring veterans in the hiring process, and how can we fix it?
First of all, let me say it's great that some of the Fortune 500 companies have stepped forward and said, you know, we're going to give veterans a job. I always look at Walmart, where Walmart CEO said, no veteran will go without a job, and I think that's great. I think that's very noble and admirable. But my question is, what kind of job is that? Is it a job where you're working at a cash register? Is it a job where you're working in a warehouse? Are you handing out the carts at Walmart? And, Stephen, I'm not knocking these jobs in any way, shape, or form because they're a good fit for a lot of people and veterans as well. But often, given that the intensity that you brought up a moment ago, does a veteran really want those kinds of jobs? Does a veteran want to come back from being in a battlefield and then being behind a desk? Many of the veterans don't want that. They want to continue to serve. And so it's great that we're handing out these jobs, but unfortunately, we're not giving the training, whether it's from a resume build or soft skill interviews that we conducted in the Enabled Vet program, which is described in the book. we're not giving the veteran the opportunity to integrate back into society. One of the tragic things I've learned, Stephen, is that many veterans told me that the deployment overseas was easier for them than it was coming back home. So in other words, the transition back home was a bigger transition than going over there in the first place. I think if we can set up programs where we help reintegrate program and create a really strong transition to society back from the four branches of service, I think then we can ease the transition of veterans back coming home, and then we can alleviate some of the horrific statistics out there, like 20 to 22 veterans committing suicide on a daily basis.
Yeah, so speaking of that, do you have any insight into why this is happening, why the suicide rate is so high for returning veterans?
It's because when veterans come back, they're lost. They've had a number of different things that happen to them overseas, whether it's PTSD related or not. But the fact of the matter is when G.I. Joe or G.I. Jane go over there, they come back as a different person. And in addition to that, during their 12 or 15 months service or longer overseas, they've grown in a different path than from the families that they're trying to reconnect with. So even though the GI is gone, the family continues to grow and move and perhaps in another direction. And sometimes the veteran feels lost coming back. If you think about it, we spend 2 to 3 months training for a military person to go over and be prepared for battle, jumping out of planes, being in the jungle, eating off the environment, etc. When that veteran goes over, they are well prepared and they know what environment to expect. Unfortunately, there really isn't a strong transition program back. As a matter of fact, the four services have different training programs, each individually, for the person coming back. And some of those vary from assignment to assignment. So if we can create the same amount of intense program for veterans returning from overseas, then as the same as when they went over there, then I think that type of transition back would be easier for them rather than just saying, okay, turn in your gear and thank you for your service and maybe go to a class or two. It needs to be much more comprehensive, I think, for that veteran to feel comfortable coming back home.
Now, in your opinion, is PTSD treatable? Is it curable? And how can we do that?
PTSD is treatable. As a matter of fact, I have a chapter in my book called You Cured My PTSD with a question mark. And it's about a Marine corporal whose job was to deliver munitions to the front. And in the book, the nurturing environment that we set up for her to transition back to a job in healthcare IT at a great place, Rush University Medical Center in the west side of Chicago. She came into my office claiming that we cured her PTSD, and she also said that her doctor had taken her off half the medications that she was on. And I spoke to a couple of clinicians about it, and while I think cured is a very, very strong word, I think, and the physicians back me up on this, is that if we can come back and alleviate some of those systems and push those bad memories into the background so that they don't reappear in your dreams at night or they don't reappear based upon a trigger, you might not say that that person is really cured, but you've gone a long, long ways to improving the quality of life. And I think that's what medicine is looking for these days. At least that's what I'm looking for in trying to get veterans jobs and trying to put out this book, is what can we do as a society to improve the lives of veterans with PTSD. Not so much searching for that magic bullet cure, but doing some things socially, vocationally, and as we saw in 60 Minutes, medically, to be able to improve the quality of life of that veteran, as well as those veterans and their families.
Okay, very good. Now tell us again the title of the book and where can we find a copy?
The title of the book is Moving Past PTSD, Consciousness, Understanding, and Appreciation for Military Veterans. You can find it on Amazon.com. It's available now for pre-order. The book will be published on August 14th. And again, this is a labor of love for me to be able to give back to veterans myself. It's very therapeutic for me personally as well. So I hope people will buy this book and not only help maybe a veteran in their families, but also create a better understanding of just what it's like to be a veteran coming back from the battlefield. And with the tips in the book, be able to help that veteran with their transition back home.
As we get ready to close here, if there's one point you could make about how we can better serve our returning veterans, what would that be?
I think the first one would be to listen and to understand and not judge. Not all veterans coming back are veterans in the news that have a bad event. I think the listening and understanding and getting to know the veteran is key. I also think being able to provide a meaningful job with an environment that is receptive and nurturing to the veteran when they come into your work center. And I also believe that finally that experience helps the veteran. And the one dirty little secret about the book, Stephen, is that when you go into this and you think you're helping a veteran get a job, and certainly you are, you're doing a great service to that veteran. But when that veteran comes into your workplace, it changes the dynamic of the people in the workplace. They get to know the veteran. They get to see the power of diversity in bringing someone different into your environment and learning from that person. The hiring a veteran is a game changer, not just for the veteran, but you will soon discover it's a game changer for your own staff who have that altruistic gene that we all have. The fact that they're helping a veteran and they're learning really contributes greatly to any diversity program that any organization has.
Okay, retired Lieutenant Colonel Jamie Parent, advocate for military members of PTSD. His book, Moving Past PTSD, Consciousness, Understanding, and Appreciation for Military Veterans and Their Families. So thank you once again for joining me today. I really appreciate it, Jamie.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.